This, I have to say, this is a horrible passage to begin the new year with, don't you think? There's a certain piece of me that feels, really, when I come to church, I feel a little bit like Lucas. I love being here, and I have to say to Jen, you've done a great job of creating a child that really loves to be in church. I so love that, and I come with all this exuberance, and we deck doing that, and I love I love the season of Advent, the preparation for Christmas, and I want it to be a joyful season, and then we get hit with this passage, and I just got to say, it's like, wow, this is really not very fun at all. But in those days, after the suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And he'll send out all the angels, he'll gather the elect from all and it's like, wow, that's not very pleasant. It's nothing like, my favorite Christmas carols. They don't have that sense of ominous, almost dread that, wow, life is hard. In fact, life is hard and life is complicated. There's a certain simplicity to the Christmas that most of us have come to terms with, and I think it helps us want to buy lots of presents and wrap them up and put them under trees and all of that stuff that goes with being and doing Christmas on this kind of really dour note. And it's like, wow, couldn't we just have a happy passage for starting of Advent? And then I take a look at the news. Well, these are the best of times, and these are the worst of times. And I think of the idea that after these things, we're going to be, after all this transpires, then God's going to get around to doing something. And I take a look at the world in which we live, and in this past week, North Korea tried out a missile that apparently is capable of reaching any place within the United States. It's and they probably are moving toward the ability to put a full and frightening situation, and we kind of have that going on. And we've got the administration kind of rattled. We've got Mr. Flynn pleading guilty to lying as he was looking at coming into office. We've got that kind of thing going on. We've got the tax bill before us, and depending on which side of the political divide you are, you've been hearing all kinds of stuff about this tax bill. It's either going to bring us devastation and massive amounts of debt and all this horrible stuff, or it's going to be very wonderful and the tulips are going to start blooming again, or I'm not exactly sure what it all means, but I know that I've just been regaled with information telling me all kinds of things where people are proclaiming the future that's going to be there, and honestly, I don't know what it's going to do. I know that some people are going to, it's going to become more difficult. And for some people, it's going to become easier. And we're going to see what the fallout of it all is. But it's a time, it's a very tense time. And while we have that going on, we have Egypt. And we've got the tragedy of the destruction there. We've got what's going on in Myanmar. We have again, the happenings in North Korea. We've got Lebanon feeling like it's falling apart. We got Zimbabwe doing what it does. It just feels like the news that's coming to me every single day is flat overwhelming, and I can kind of figure that. Well, it seems like, yeah, it's the best of times, and it's the worst of times, and it's a frightening moment in our time together as people of the United States. As people of the global community, I don't know what the future holds, but there is an awful lot that I'm looking at right now as I turn on the television, listen to the radio, open up the newspaper, where I am feeling a bit overwhelmed by how close we feel to the edge of everything going sideways and everything we know and trust being taken away at some level. And I get that. And it feels like it's brand new, 2,000 years ago. He's writing almost immediately after the Romans have come in and destroyed Jerusalem. After the Jewish nation stops being identified by a nation as a nation by the Romans, as if they the siege and have moved to the far corners of the Roman Empire, trying to find a place for them and their families to be safe, to get away from all that was happening as Rome came in and devastated the nation of Judah, tore down the temple, tore down the wall, renamed the place Palestine. And so we've got that going on, and it's like, well, and that's kind of, well, that's how it was in Jesus' day, and it's how it is today, it feels like. And I look back through time, and I think that God called our ancestors out of Egypt, enslaved by the Pharaoh. That when God called the people, he gave them control of their country, as with David and Solomon, and then there was the time of the Assyrians, and then there were the Medes, and then there were the Romans. And the people of Israel very well knew the difficulty of any moment in time. And they knew of trying to hold on to hope when the world around seems hopeless, when all feels to be devastation, when after that time, when you see the desolating sacrilege set up where it ought not to be. When we come to our passage today, honestly, it feels like we're in familiar territory. When we look at our world today, it actually feels like we're in familiar territory. And I want the Christmas season to be all about joy and hope, and yet in real life, there's a lot of heaviness in the world around us. A lot of people who are wringing their hands and feeling as if there is no possible way forward in the world in which we live. And so I actually broke off from the lectionary today to choose my second passage. The second passage coming to us from the Gospel of Isaiah. So this is first Isaiah. It's happening back when Israel is under siege. When the Assyrians are camped against them, when it's very clear that the nation is not going to survive in the way that people had thought it was going to exist forever. And in that moment, these words came to Isaiah to speak to the people, this word of hope. And he says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bark across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all of the boots of the trampling warriors and all of those garments rolled in blood, they shall be burned as sacrifice, as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he shall be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this day forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." I see the activities in the world around me. And I feel the pain of nations, and I feel the fear within our own nation, and I feel the fear in individual lives of people I know and I love, and I feel the tears that we cry collectively when it feels as if there is no hope. And I remember that God is not in the sound of the earthquake, but in that still, small voice that comes in the midst of and the other side of the broken heart and the deep tears and the long wailing. And I remember those moments in my life where my heart was broken and all seemed lost. And I would grieve until it felt there was nothing left in me to give in grief. And then the quietness of the voice of God saying, I am with you. No magic. There's no wand that's going to make everything go away. The hurt that I experience is not going to, the event that caused the pain is not going to unhappen. But in the midst of pain, in the midst of the anxiety that controls our lives and takes away our hope, if we will be silent, we will experience the breath of God. And the Spirit of God is with us. My friends, in this Advent, we look forward to the coming of the Christ. We look forward to the promise that is ours, and yet even now, in the already, with what is happening, the Spirit of God is present to each one of us. In that hollow, hurting place within our hearts, when there is not another tear and the breath fills us, and the blossom unfolds, and the possibility of springtime is known in our hearts. Let us pray as we come, as we enter prayerfully, solemnly, hopefully, in this season of Advent. Lord God, let us be people with eyes wide open, who experience what your world has set before us, who experience the pain in our lives individually and in our lives together. And let us own that pain in hope. And let us cry until there are no more tears. And in the gasping of the breath at the end of the sobbing, let us absorb again your Spirit, your hope, and your truth. In Jesus' holy name, amen.